We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Insane in the Membrane, Edinburgh Edition.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello again. You join us at the beginning of Edinburgh. It's started. It's begun. A lot of pressure on everybody, but we'll see what we do. We try and get through it. Jacob Hawley, I met a couple of years ago. He's a young, up-and-coming stand-up, and he's doing really well, and it was nice to get him on. I caught him just before we headed up to the Edinburgh Festival. So, yeah, it was right. It's a very stressful time. I don't know if I can't underline that enough. So, here we are, Jacob Hawley.
Yeah.
It's all right, man. That's all right. That's to the Atmos. Yeah, and I met Smiley when I was a barman up the creek, and he'd come in. I didn't realise who he was because he looked different from when he was tires in Spaced. Because he had bleached hair.
Yeah.
And he walked in and he was just like this mod-looking dude. And I'm like, I fucking recognise that, man. And I got chatting to him as behind the bar, and I went, "Your tires, man." He went, yeah. And that was it. And I just said to him, "Oh, my youngest son loves you. We love your character."
Yeah.
Next time he came in, he had photos from the stills from behind the scenes when they did.
Really?
Yeah, there's a bit. Thank you so much, bro. There's this bit in Space where they do this bit. It's like a 30-second bit where they had like the Matrix. They come to this building dressed as the Matrix.
Yeah.
And Smiley came in with that and a letter explaining it, and he gave it for my son.
No way.
Yeah.
How old was your son at the time?
My son was, blimey, he was very young.
He must have been
10. Yeah. It was amazing. And then he wrote a letter back to Smiley.
Yeah.
And it was great. And the one with Smiley was an accident. Because I'm mates with him.
Uh-huh.
It was like, I must get Smiley on.
He's a comic, isn't he?
He's not done it for a while.
Yeah.
But he's more of an actor now. But I'd been interviewing Tez, and then I happened to be in Brixton where he lives, and I just texted him and said, "You about have a coffee?"
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, I'm just having a meeting, I'll be out." So we met up, and then he's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm doing this podcast." He's like, "Cool." I said, "Yeah, I've emailed loads of my mates trying to get them on." And he got his phone out, he's going, I don't appear to have an email from my friend. I didn't know. And he's like, "Let's go and do it now." So we went and did it in his house.
Oh, that's
and
sweet.
It's brilliant, man.
Yeah, I listened to that one as well.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
Really
enjoyed it.
What makes me laugh is, what's happening with Phil Ellis? What's that shit about?
Oh, don't. Looking at Flory now, how did I ever get tied up with Phil?
I was with Phil the other week.
Phil's sort of, he's taken it upon himself to cast himself as my mentor.
Yeah.
Like, we did gigs together, because obviously he's with Avalon as well, so we did a few gigs together. When was the first time I did it with Phil? I remember the first time we gigged together, we knew we were going to get on because he was emceeing, and I don't know whether I was... I can't remember what I was doing. But we both got to the gig a little bit late. I think I was opening. Where was it? I can't remember where it was. But we both got there a little bit late. We both had the same excuse, which was that we'd got off the train, both gone to a shop, got 4 beers for the train back. and I remember I walked in and I said that, and he was like, "You've got train beers as well." And I was like, "Yeah, I've got train beers." And he was like, "Oh, let's drink them together." So yeah, we gigged together. And then, yeah, last year when I was doing my first show, he just sort of started pretending that he'd written it, but not just written it, that he'd written it, directed it, that he'd taken the photos for the poster, that he'd styled my hair for that. and like, I sort of went along with it at first. I mean, I'll add in now, he's never seen it. To this day, he's never seen it. I know. But he's
taking full credit.
He's taking credit, but he's also... The problem is, I see it, and most people, like yourself, you'll probably know that he's taking the piss.
Yeah.
I see these people, I mean, like... So things like when... I did a Radio 4 thing based on the show... And so he very nicely shared when the sort of news went out about that I was going to do this Radio 4 thing. But again, he shared it by going, "Look, I wrote this show for this comedian and now it's going to be on the radio." And I just see like these, he gets like 100 likes for it. And it's like, mate, 15 of those know you're joking. And then you get like 30 people go, "Oh, nice one, Phil." You know, yeah, people from presses. And then the worst one was he did Roast Battle last year with John Vegas. Yeah. And I think the researchers, because obviously they have researchers working on the show who do a bit of research on each of them to give Jonathan Ross something to say or whoever else or whatever. And he showed me what the research is, because obviously the researchers did a bit of research on him and then sent to him an email going, "This is what we found out about you. Are you happy with us saying this?" And you know where it's going. They'd gone through his Twitter, and one of the notes that they were giving to like, Catherine Ryan and everyone like that was like, "Last year Phil wrote a show for comedian Jacob Walling." So people at Comedy Central genuinely believe he wrote my show for me.
Wow. He's seeing your number.
Yeah, and now he's on this.
he got on it before me as well. I'm sure I haven't listened to his one yet, but
it's a good one.
Yeah, is it good? Yeah. Do you know what? It's funny, Phil, because I think he's one of those where like he's so naturally comical. Like everything that he does is funny.
Yeah.
But then every now and then he'll slip into and he'll become very like earnest and sort of serious, and he's like, he's a frighteningly, I mean, we hang out a little bit, he's a frighteningly intelligent bloke.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And he's very thoughtful, especially with comedy and stuff, he's very thoughtful about what he does. I mean, I've got a little role in his show this year.
Nice.
I don't quite know what it is.
I don't think he knows.
No,
it.
He doesn't know what
he
it is.
He said you're in it.
He's basically said to me, he was like, he tried explaining it to me a few times, but then he was like, "Look, rather than..." He doesn't really do previews of his shows.
No.
He books out a theatre in, I think it's South London somewhere. He was like, "Look, I booked out this theatre the week before Edinburgh. Just meet me there and we'll work it all out."
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's very sort of Kaufman, Andy Kaufman-esque.
Yeah, I think that's a big influence.
Yeah. I've known Phil quite a while. When we first met him, I was with Paul Peary. We were in Sheffield gigging there. And Phil was with his then girlfriend. And we all hit it off straight away. It was we had such a laugh. And then the second night, we're in the pub and we stood at the bar with his, like I say, his then girlfriend. And we're like, "Oh, you know, you seem really cool and it's really nice with you and Phil, really great." And she's like, "Yeah." And oh, that was it. We asked if she wanted a drink. She went, "Oh, I don't know if Phil will let me." Right? And we went, "What?" She went, "Yeah, he gets a bit angry sometimes." "What?" And we just met him. So we're like, "What?" And she went, he sort of, he can get a bit rough sometimes. And we're like, "What the fuck?" And then we were like, "Oh, I don't know what to say because I really like him. I didn't know this side of it." She was mucking about. So he went, he thought it was weird. We'd gone really cold on him. Because he thought he's fucking abusing this girl. And then later on, we were at the bar with her again, and we just said, "Do you want a drink?" She went, "Oh," and in where the bar people could hear, she's like, "Oh, I don't really think I'm old enough, but like we got this." Right, don't, this is bollocks now. Yeah, so that was my first experience with Phil Ellis. This is crazy time at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Edinburgh and So you're doing Phil's, you're doing your own show?
Well, I say I'm doing Phil's. I think I've got 5 minutes where I run on and ask people to do any shows. And I'm doing my own show, and then I'm helping out. I don't know if you know a sketch act called Moon.
Yeah.
So I've got a little bit in theirs as well.
That's cool.
So it's going to be busy. It's going to be a busy year for me. You're doing new shows,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I'm up at Gilded Balloon.
It's a weird time of year, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I was talking to the lads about this the other day, like how... I mean, you've done a few hours at Edinburgh,
and it's... Yeah.
If you're not careful, it can wreck your summer.
Oh,
do you know
man.
What I mean?
Yeah, God, yeah.
Because
yeah.
And it's like, first of all, the anxiety about, and I say anxiety, but the worries about the show. But then also the financial burden that comes with it all.
That's right, yeah.
And like, Jesus, man, I'm someone who loves the sunshine. Like, I love when it gets, especially in London, like London in the sun. It doesn't get any better, does it?
No,
so already robbed of that because I've got to spend August in school.
Which might be...
Well, you get your day, but then also, I think if you're not careful, and I think last year I definitely had a bit of this because it was my first one last year, and I think I was under pressure, but a lot of that pressure was self-inflicted. And it just meant June and July was spent panicking, proper panicking, and in a way that isn't even productive.
No,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not good in any sense. And I think all of us have that little voice in the back of your head telling you you're not working hard enough and stuff.
Oh man, yeah, all the time. And I read a thing yesterday about depression. And part of depression is like beating yourself up because you've not done anything. You've spent the day wasting the day. And the trick is not to do that.
Because the irony is you then spend the day beating yourself up.
Rather than getting anything done.
And the guilt and the negativity that comes from that is more crippling.
That's right.
And you just do nothing, man. I'm really trying this year to let myself enjoy it and let myself not worry too much about the consequences Jesus Christ, the reviews and everything like that. And I think
that's what you've got to avoid is that this is my first paid year.
Right.
This is the first year that I've got publications ringing me up going, right, we want to do a bit on you as part of this other thing.
Yeah.
So this is all brand new to me. So this year I'll probably get reviews and things like that, and I've already gone, I'm not even going
to
look at them.
I think that's the way to go.
You just don't look at them. Don't get caught up in the circus around your show.
Yeah.
Best thing to do is just try, as much as you can, focus on the show.
That's it, yeah.
And make it as good as you can.
And also take joy from the show itself.
If you enjoy doing it, people are going to enjoy watching it. It just makes sense.
Rather than waiting to get a four-star review and celebrating then, celebrate every time the ending gets around.
Exactly.
Celebrate every time. I mean, I had in my show last year, I had a callback. Basically, I there was this callback that I kind of needed in one of the last stories. It ended on a callback, the last story. But the sort of the setup for the callback, I would forget.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they've all been there.
But, mate, honestly, I probably, within the first week, I maybe forgot it two or three times, and it fucked the show. And it got to a point where my tech last year, Bobby Carroll, actually.
Bobby Carroll, he's a top dude.
It got to a point where where the bit that I'd forget, he'd have to hold up his hand at the back of the room and remind me.
Stop me there.
And I'd sort of see his hand, remember that's what he's reminding me. Okay, yeah, nice one, Bob, carry on. But stuff like that, like having a bit of fun with stuff like that, and I think that makes the whole thing, because otherwise you forget that this is, you know, a hugely privileged thing to be able to do.
We're so lucky
to be able to do this, and to anyone on the outside, they go, wow, you get to spend your days having a laugh and writing funny stuff and performing and doing all that, and it's like, it sounds great, and you try and explain, oh no, but the pressure and the money stuff and everything like that, and you know, the money thing never gets any easier.
No.
I don't think.
No.
I mean, maybe after a certain level of success or whatever, but I think unless you come from a background where you've got parents that can pay for stuff or whatever, or, you know, I mean, I had a job last year. I had a part-time job before I went. This year, not having that.
Yeah.
And not having that monthly salary. And I'm used to that now in terms of living like that, but now having to pay for everything for Edinburgh without that, you know, fallback is scary, man. But it's, you know, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's it's something that I think I've taught myself to sort of enjoy the show and enjoy the camaraderie. Do you know what I mean? Hanging out with people. I'm sure you feel the same. There's people that I fucking love seeing, and I'm right to swear, aren't I?
Yeah, of course you are. You can cut the place out. Sorry for it.
but we all year, like, you'll see, like you said, I probably haven't seen you since last
seen
year.
Phrases,
and,
yeah.
And it's like you see people and you go, fuck, I haven't seen Rich in ages. And you go, that's what it should be about, is looking forward to seeing people and doing fun and seeing people's shows.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's the beauty of it as well. I mean,
That's the trick as well with Edinburgh, where I've been up. I've done it in all different ways. I went up the first time I used to go up, I went up like 2006, 2007. I was flying and doing stuff for Just the Tonic.
To make a bit of money while you're up there.
And then see how it worked and what happened. I didn't do a show. But just seeing what happens. And then I went up there, first time with a show, 2014, went up there and was just drunk for the whole month, just pissed, used it as a party.
Did you get it? Were you doing a show?
Really? I was over, I made all the mistakes you can make. I took the venue on because I really like the name of it. It's the Cellar Monkey, and it's the other side of the Meadows.
Yeah, but it is a nice name, isn't it?
It's a great name. I'm like, that's going to be brilliant. Oh, brilliant. It's the other side of the Meadows where no one goes.
Yeah.
And I forgot to put the time and date on my flyers.
Oh, mate.
So I had to, every day I had to write the time and date on my flyers before I went flying.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I was hungover every day as well.
Jeez.
The most I made from a gig from the bucket was about 17 quid. And that was because a woman in the audience felt sorry for me and wouldn't let anyone leave until they put something in this bucket.
Really?
I didn't have a bucket, I had a pint glass.
Oh, man.
I was sitting in the Meadows towards the end, and I just sat on this bench. And I started to sob. I'm like, just going, oh, and I'm like, oh, Robin Williams has just died. That's really sad. I'm like, I didn't like him that much. I was a fan, but not. Didn't affect my life.
It was
sad that what had happened, but then I'm like, oh yeah, I've fucked myself.
I'm just crying. Yeah.
So I've done that, and then the last couple of years, I just treat it as work. I go up there. I might go to a bar or two. But I'll gig everywhere, and then I'm home, sleep.
I just concentrate. I think that's
the way to see some stuff, but don't go mad.
It's horses for courses, isn't it? It's like, I know some people go out there and have a really good time, but get wrecked all the time.
That's right.
I know, because of the way that I go, I know I have to be careful myself.
Yeah.
And I last year I was on fairly early. I was like 3:40 last year, and so couldn't really go out and get too hammered and be up in time to do a phenomenal steep. But Me and the lads I live with, we'll go to the gym together.
Nice.
I had a few drinks, but stay off with the naughty stuff. I was really proud of myself last year. There's a point where I was at the urinal with a good mate of mine in comedy.
Yeah.
And I went there, and he sort of went, do you want to pass me a bag? Even though I was like 3 pints deep and we were near the end of the fringe, I still was like, no.
Well done.
I won't get up in the morning. And as you say, and I'll especially do that where it's like little things, like you're saying about Robin Williams dying, little things that shouldn't upset me will suddenly start flooring me.
Yeah.
If I've had too much beer or got on the stuff or whatever.
Yeah,
so you have to be so careful, man. I mean, I'm lucky, my girlfriend's so good with like keeping my head in check.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously your partner Jay, she's in comedy,
right? We kind of keep each other buoyed. Like today, she's having a tough time. She feels a bit overwhelmed. But I was trying to get out there and like rushing to listen. I'll talk to you later. But I will talk to her and I'll go, listen, just what I said to her was, look, put everything in an email to me.
It's such a good way of doing
it. Get it out of your head and then let me have a look at it and I might be able to help you with something.
That's such a good way of doing it.
So we help each other out. And it's, with Edinburgh as well, you've got the other bollocks about all the nominations and then you've got this and you've got that. And people get caught up in all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that becomes dangerous. If you go up there with that in your head, you're going to get hurt.
The lads I was with last year, one of them particularly, I don't know if you know Rob Oldham.
Yeah.
But he was a fucking nightmare. Every day he was going on about someone getting nominated and whether we were going to get nominated.
Oh, mate.
We had to say to him by the end, we were like, just shut up. None of us got nominated in the end. We all had a nice time. I genuinely loved the actor did get nominated. But this year, I'm actually looking forward to that not even being a consideration.
Yeah, man.
Because there's no newcomer for any of us. I don't think any of us are thinking about the big award. I think what I've found in comedy in the last year or two, or what I've started thinking more, is I don't think of it as a linear thing. So I don't think of it as a, I'm on this rung of the ladder, someone else is on that. I think what I've really discovered a bit is that there'll be things that other people that I used to compare myself to will get that I can't get.
Yeah.
But then I might get something they won't get.
Exactly.
And it's not as if we're all going on the same line up.
No.
It's all over, I've really tried hard to stop myself getting any kind of jealousy and feeling any levels of negativity in that sense, because I think there's nothing uglier than celebrating the fact that someone else hasn't got something. But I used to find myself doing that.
Of course you do. You're only human.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, man. I'm trying really hard now to be, and it's nice because I think when I started comedy, I didn't really make friends with people within the circuit or the industry, largely just because I have my own mates and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know what it's like with open mic comedy in London. It's a bit grim, isn't it? You know?
I wasn't in it very long, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the beauty of it. Once you're out of that murky little world, you suddenly meet and you go, oh, not everyone is like that. Do you know what I mean? And you go,
Is it quite bitchy then? Is it quite?
I mean, I guess I stopped doing the open mic stuff a few years ago, but when I was there, it weren't just bitchy, but it was it was very clicky.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I sort of immediately felt like I didn't want to be a part of all that. But then I remember when I first did The Fringe in 2017, right? I hadn't really made many friends within comedy and stuff like that. And I was living outside of, well, I was living in a pretty good place, but I didn't live with any comics. I lived with strangers who weren't comics. And mate, it was miserable. It was and my show was 12:15 in the afternoon. So I'd get up at 9 or 10, get out, do a bit of flying, do the show. By half one, I'd go out and I'd be like, what now?
Yeah, right.
What do I do? There's no one I can call. And it just made it a bleak experience. But now it's so much nicer having a few more mates within it itself and comics that I'd spend my time with outside of the Fringe. But I think, I mean, what you're saying about with yourself and Jade, I think that's the way to do it, isn't it? It's try and buoy each other.
That's right.
Kind of be there for each other, and I think my people I'm sort of closest to within comedy, we try and do that. Be there for each other when it goes a bit pear shaped, celebrate with each other. I mean, like last year, for example, I remember the first review I did. It was The List, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I got 4 stars in The List. It's not as if I'd fucking won the big. But that's the first time I've been reviewed. And the way I found out was my group chat with Moon and Rob and everyone in there. I just had a flood of messages going, get in there, mate. Go on, mate. You've done four. And it was just like, that's what it should be about, isn't it? Everyone's going, yeah, that's it, man. Let's all do well. Let's all have a bit of that.
Because
I think that's the way to go.
I try and do that anyway. Someone said to me recently, they went, oh, you're too nice. And I'm like, what? I'm like, because I'm always retweeting people or things like that. Because I'm like, well, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't affect me.
It doesn't
hurt. No one's going to go, I'm not going to go and see Richie's show because he's just bigged up that person.
No.
Like, go fuck yourself.
I'm a firm believer in what you put out is what comes back to you.
Of course. Just be supportive and be nice to everybody, because it is hard doing this.
Yeah.
And especially in Edinburgh as well. Like you've just pointed out, it can be. I remember when I first went up and it was lonely.
Yeah.
When I was doing it for Just the Tonic, I wasn't living with anybody. I hadn't been doing comedy very long.
Yeah.
So I remember standing in doorways just going, this is fucking shit. Yeah. It's just pouring with rain.
Well, that's it. When it rains, it does pour, doesn't it? Up there. And it's bleak. You look at your mates at home and you're going, what have I done this
for? I know. But people outside of comedy, you know, I think they feel the same way. There's not a lot of support, for them. And, a lot of people that listen to this have messaged me and they've gone, yeah, I don't know who to talk to. Just, do you know what I mean?
It's so important. And I think especially when you have these kind of, if you have any kind of struggles with your head and stuff, I think. I struggled with it. And the first time I sort of started doing so, I didn't know who to speak to. Largely because I didn't want to speak to my family because I almost felt like I'd be making them feel like they'd done something wrong.
Right. Okay.
Do you know what I mean? I thought to myself, if I tell my dad how bad I'm feeling, he's going to think it's his fault for not reaching out in the first place. So I almost felt like a level of guilt with him and my mum especially. Like, I felt like I didn't want to tell them the way that I was struggling, because I thought they'll turn around and say, I was worried that they would then go, oh, is that our fault? Should we have done something else? And I'm really fortunate. I've got really nice parents, and like, and my mates and stuff. I think my, you know, they are very supportive and stuff like that. But it's something that I think, especially, it depends on your background. I've met people from comedy, and I wasn't aware of this so much before I started doing comedy. But I've met people from comedy who are from a slightly different background to mine, in the sense that they'll be privately educated,
yeah,
or they'll have gone through a really good uni or something like that. And I find that they are, I don't say this to try and be controversial or anything, but I do find that they are much more likely to be medicated with whether it might be antidepressants or anything like that.
Yeah.
They're much more likely to have received some kind of counselling or therapy.
That's really interesting.
And I don't know whether that's because they grew up in an environment where it's easier to speak about those things. I don't know if it's because actually the environment they grew up in is potentially actually more difficult than mine, because there's pressures on them that I didn't have. My parents never expected me to go to uni, let alone a good uni.
Neither did mine.
There was never that pressure to do that. I'm very fortunate. My parents are very supportive of me being a comic.
Yeah.
They never said, oh, but we want you to be a doctor. We want you to be a lawyer. Yeah. There wasn't any of that. I wonder if it's that. But then I also worry that we do have a society that kind of, I think sometimes we look at people, we think that the people who suffer the most are the people who are the most enlightened.
Mm.
There's that stereotype, yes, of the tortured artist.
So
you know, the idea that someone who is so understanding and perceptive of the world around them that it troubles them. And we almost, I think sometimes people fall into the whole of thinking that the only people who can really struggle with life are people that are educated enough to understand it.
Yes.
And I worry that the reason that the people I grew up around, who perhaps have as many problems as the people from more privileged backgrounds, they don't get that treatment. I worry that I look at my mum, for example. My mum's always struggled with stress, struggled with coping with stress. And I see a lot of the traits that she has in myself. I react in the same way that she does to not even things going wrong, minor things causing her like catastrophic breakdowns, not knowing how to cope, not knowing how to communicate herself properly.
Yeah, right.
And you know, getting frantic and I've had panic attacks before, and I think she's had the same. She's never had any kind of counselling or kind of therapy or anything like that. And I think it happens even more so in men, because it's a lack of communication with it, and I think a lack of understanding. But my main point is that I really do worry that in my experience, people from better backgrounds usually have more access to treatments, whether it might be medication or therapy or something like that.
Well, it seems to be that they're made aware of it rather. I come from a working class background.
Yeah.
Therapy was never, it was never a thing. You just had to deal with it. You had to, as for want of a better phrase, as you always used to say, like, you had to man up. Like, men don't do that. Listen, you got, and it was like when I had kids really young, you got kids now, you haven't got time to be feeling sad and worried.
I worry about that a lot.
Yeah.
People have kids young.
Yeah, man.
You're listening to Insane in the Membrane's Edinburgh season. Scroll back through our past episodes from season one to hear from other comedians playing this year's Edinburgh Festival, including Phil Ellis, Simon Evans, Nick Revel, George Rigdon, Jen Brister and Ishan Akbar. All those podcasts and this episode have Edinburgh show details within the podcast description. Expand the details section on your app and come and see us.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This show is made by Dark Horse Digital. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.
Yeah, my sister had kids. She had her first child at 18.
Oh, wow.
Second at 2021.
Yeah, right.
And because, and she's in a relationship, and you know, her boyfriend's great, and he provides, and he's proper grafter, man. Like, he's a scaffolder on film sets, and he's got his own private firm, and he works weekends as well. Like,
brilliant.
And so Hannah, my sister, she works a bit behind a bar in a pub, but she's largely at home with the kids. And I think, and she'd be able to speak better about this than me, but I worry that because you've got the two beautiful kids, you've got the house, you don't have to go to work every morning.
Yeah.
Why would you struggle? What are you complaining about?
Yeah.
And like the pressure of being that parent at that younger age, man. I mean, you can speak about it more than me, but
you're a kid yourself.
Yeah. And that's taken away from you.
Yeah.
There's no time to be a kid anymore. There's no time to be vulnerable yourself.
Yeah, it took me a long time. I was 20 when I had my first one. I hadn't really dealt with any shit that had gone on from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then, so it wasn't until when I had the children and then I started to, you know, that relationship started to fall apart. And then, you know, I got into my 30s and I'm like, I'm just being a pain in the ass. I'm being a dick to everybody because I didn't realise there's this nugget of shit that I haven't dealt with.
Mate, I think that's such a... That's something I've really thought... I've got... So I sort of talk about some of this stuff in my show this year, but like... I don't know about you, but I had this moment of realisation maybe a year or a few months ago, where it's like, this stuff that I struggle with sometimes makes me a dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And actually, I think the first thing you go, oh, okay, well, that's a justification for it. But then you go, actually, it's perfectly possible to be struggling and not be a dick.
Yeah, I know.
And
yeah,
I don't know about you, but when I look back, I mean, I look back on stuff and it's as if I was pissed. Do you know what I mean? The way that you behave when your head's in a bad place and stuff, you go, I'd never say that.
I know, exactly.
I'd never say that to him. I'd never say that
exactly.
to her.
I've had mates say to me, do you know what you said last night? Yeah. I'm like, no. And they go, you said blah, blah, blah. I would never say that to someone. They go, you fucking did.
And it's as if you're drunk, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
as if you're
exactly.
off your face. And you're like, Jesus Christ. And sometimes I remember that. And I'm like, why would I say that? Why would I make that person feel that way? And it's... amazing.
Yeah, and it's horrifying, isn't it?
It's horrifying, and you go, Jesus Christ! If someone behaved like that to me,
yeah,
I wouldn't like them.
Oh, mate! If I remember, like some of the arguments I've had with when I've been in relationships with people, and I've said some horrendous things. And if someone came to me and said, "Oh, a fella says blah blah," I'd be like, "Does he fucking what?"
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a prick.
Yeah. And then you catch yourself and you've done it. It's something I'm trying really hard with at the moment, is like catching myself before I get into that state. Because once I'm in that state, and it's not even as if the red mist comes down and I become angry and start screaming and shouting volatile, but it's more that I say little things that I'd never, you know, maybe passive aggressive or whatever. And it's like, I'm trying to catch myself and try and be objective in my head and go, like, what do I actually want in this situation?
Yes, exactly.
What am I actually getting wound up about? Right, well, saying that to him or her isn't going to...
That's not going to change. That's going to solve that problem.
It's going to make things worse. It's going to, you know, and so...
Jade and I have arguments, and it used to be... one day she just said, like, do you want us to work or do you want to be right? And I just went, oh yeah.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And it kind of, and then I realised I was just getting frustrated with whatever, and she was getting frustrated with whatever, and we were taking it out on each other.
Yeah.
And now suddenly I've become really quite zen about everything, because I'm like, everything's all right, you know. Money, the only problem I have is money.
Yeah.
I just don't have it. Like today, I was ringing up a couple of people that owe me money. I'm like, I can't get out of the house until you send me some money. And that's embarrassing.
Oh, mate, it's horrible. It's embarrassing. I'm in exactly the same situation at the moment, like on personal and professional level, like people owe me money.
Yeah.
And literally in that situation, exactly as you say, as going, look, I can't put money on my Oyster.
Yeah, exactly that, yeah.
I can't go down Tesco.
No, exactly.
Until, yeah. And exactly as you say, as like with relationships and stuff. I mean, me and Lana on last week or something, I was like, we sort of caught ourselves sort of starting to get a little bit heated, and we're like, well, it's because you haven't smoked my girlfriend's net.
So yeah,
like,
right.
You haven't slept because you've been at work.
Yeah.
I haven't been, I've been in and out doing this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm fed up about this money.
Yeah, as it actually it's was. Always
because
money,
it's Edinburgh rent time. Yeah. So I'm chasing up every loose end. She's, and it's like, we're not disagreeing.
No.
We don't disagree on what we're talking about. Yeah. We completely agree with each other. So why are we getting fed up with each other? And it's a constant, like, I think it is a constant process of... And the other thing I try and be very careful with, and it comes down to that thing of, like, when am I being depressed and when am I being a dick? And I can do those things at the same time.
Yeah.
Or there's times when I'm just being a dick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's trying to catch myself there and going... Like, and I think you have to be very careful not to... not to almost like subsidize these issues in your head and use them as an excuse when you shouldn't. I'm a big boxing fan. Right, are you into
yeah,
boxing?
Yeah.
Tyson Fury, for example, I think he's an amazing case of someone who went through difficult times.
Oh, God, yeah. Did you listen to him on Joe Rogan?
I listen to him everywhere. I spend all my time. Yeah. We've just done another, I just did a thing on Scala Radio.
Oh,
and
right.
It was an arts and culture thing. They wanted me to talk about arts and culture. And I had to say, I was like, I haven't watched any television, read any books, listened to music. Because all I do is watch boxing news.
Yeah.
That's all I do. And so I watch everything Tyson Fury does. And yeah. I'm like, mate, he's someone who's properly... been to the depths of depression, come back from it, man, to the point where, you know, suicidal thoughts, thinking horrendous things. He's a father of like three or four kids, and you know, he felt no value to his life despite being heavyweight champion of the world, having a beautiful wife, three or four beautiful children, everything he'd ever dreamed of.
Yeah
By the age of like 28,
that's it.
You know, he's only a couple of years older than me, and he wanted to end his life. But then does that excuse the fact that a few years ago he said that homosexual relationships were as bad as paedophilia?
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think we have to be very careful with that, because I think it's brilliant that conversations like these are happening more, and we're talking about it more, and that as men we're acknowledging these things. But, and like Billy Joe Saunders, do you know him?
No.
So he's a very good friend of Tyson Fury's. He's a middleweight boxer. Again, like late 20s. He did this horrible thing the start, or like the middle of like, what about, yeah, about a year ago, where... He's a bit of a joker, Billy Joe Saunders. And he did this thing where him and his mates were in a car, you know, really nice, expensive Range Rover. They were pulled up and they saw this woman who was clearly a drug addict walking down the road. And they were filming her doing horrible things. And they were saying things like, you know, if we had some crack right here, right now, would you give us all blowjobs or whatever? You know, and they got her to punch someone, this poor bloke walking down the street, because they'd said they're going to give her drugs. Horrible stuff.
Yeah.
He gets in trouble for it. They strip him of his belt. They give him a ban, rightfully so. And then he comes out with his statement going, oh, yeah, you know, I wasn't in a good place. I think I might have been suffering with the old depression like Tyson was. And it's like,
oh, mate.
Were you?
Yeah.
And the problem is that the more times that card gets played, it cheapens it. Do you know what I mean? The more times we use that as an excuse, it cheapens it. And it means that it's a boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
Right. And collectively that is what it'll become. If people keep using that as an excuse and crying that out when it's not the case, it's gonna mean that when people do actually have issues, they're not gonna be acknowledged.
No.
And I think that's something that people do have to be careful with.
Yeah. It's easy to go, there's a couple of comedians that we all know have done horrendous things to people.
I suspect we're thinking the same people right now.
And now it's like, oh, well, that was a different time. I was doing this, I was doing that. And you're like, no, that was in you.
Yeah.
I've been off my head. I've done all manner of drugs and drinking and things like that. I have lost the plot completely.
Yeah.
But I have never, ever forced myself onto somebody else. And that's the difference.
And I think, personally, I don't think drugs or alcohol can put something within you that wasn't there already.
No.
That's my own belief. And Yeah, I mean, to do a little plug, I'm making this podcast called Jacob Hawley on Drugs.
It's nice.
On BBC Sounds and all that. But a big thing of what we've learned with that, you know, we spoke to people who've done horrendous things whilst under the influence, and it's like, and it comes back to that thing, you can be depressed and be a dickhead at the same
that's
time.
Right,
you can be addicted to something and still be a dickhead.
Yeah.
Just because you're suffering from something doesn't mean you're not being a dickhead.
No.
Maybe it's making you worse, but you still need to acknowledge why you're being a dickhead.
That's right, man.
And it's... I think that's something we all need to, or that I certainly am trying to keep an eye on myself.
Yeah. And it's I think, how old are you?
I'm 27.
27. I mean, that's incredible, incredibly insightful. I'm not patronising you.
No.
But to be that age and to be that aware is quite something, because I know I wasn't. I mean, I'm 47. And it's only been in the last couple of years that I've kind of got my head around stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so...
But that's not me saying I can do it. Even Monday I was being a prick, maybe you can get a hold of that stuff and behave in a way that you'd always be proud of yourself. But I think, like you say, it's just about trying to take a few deep breaths. I mean, I think what you just said about what you do with Jade is a genius idea. Because we all get that sometimes where we feel like you're juggling 50 different plates and you're trying to keep spinning and you're overwhelmed. And actually, I think, like you say, put it in a list, objectify it all.
That's it.
Go, what can I do? If I can't do anything, that's there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think...
It's important.
I think that's it, man.
Don't look at the whole thing. Look at the more urgent stuff. Go, right, what needs to be done now?
Okay,
cool. Right, I can do that and I'll do that. Right, is there something on here I can get some help with?
Yeah.
And then look at that and then... It's easy to get overwhelmed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it, all it needs is just to take a step back, just for a minute, and just go, all right, just hang on. This is fucking stupid.
Yeah,
I know life's hard, but it shouldn't be this hard.
Yeah,
right. Let's take it from here. Right, okay. Let's start again, and just moving slowly forward. You know, and then like you mentioned tiredness.
Yeah.
If you don't get enough sleep, or you don't drink enough water, you don't have enough fruit,
mate.
And shit like that, you're...
Yeah, and even if you're just boozing a couple of times every night, if you're having three or four beers a night, suddenly you wake up with that slight hangover that makes you a bit sluggish, and that's just another thing on top of fucking everything else.
Yeah, man.
And I'm the worst for it sometimes, is that I do things that I know aren't good for me. That thing's the worst.
The phones are terrible, man.
I met, do you know an Australian comic called Sam Campbell?
No, I don't know.
I met him a few weeks ago, and he's just like, he's got a little Alcatel.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, if I ever need to do anything, I've got a computer.
Yeah.
I can open that, but it's not something that, I mean, I've this impulse to just pick it out and look at it.
Yeah.
It's not buzzing.
No.
Why am I looking at it?
Oh, mate. Well, there's that thing as well. A couple of what it's called, it's certain syndrome where you think your phone's buzzing.
It hasn't. It's actually called time. That doesn't stop you wasting half an hour on it.
Oh, man, that's it. It's in your hand. Then you're like, oh, I'll just have a quick look at that. And I've wasted days where I've just been going from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, just you're supposed to be writing your show, you dickhead.
Mate, I don't know what it is with me, but as soon as I write something, my fingers know it's Twitter for me. I'm bad at Twitter.
Right.
I don't even post much. I just read a lot. My fingers know the little thing to Twitter. And I'm like, I've just started the setup to a joke. at least write the punchline. Do you know what I mean? At least finish the routine.
I know.
I've got a thing on my laptop now called, I can't remember what it's called. It's a little Google Chrome plugin called Focus Mode.
Yeah.
Because I do the Pomodoro thing, you know, 25 minutes on and 5 minute break.
Oh, yeah.
And so set it on the phone, 25 minutes, bang. Put the thing on there that blocks all the websites that I shouldn't be on.
Brilliant.
25 minutes, bang. Then that buzzes, 5 minute break, turn it off, answer an email,
message
someone on Twitter or whatever.
I think it's important.
Mate, but it's self-discipline. Exactly what you're saying about the drinking water and the sleep.
Exactly. And it's easier to not do any of these things. It's easier to not make your bed. It's easier to stay in bed all day. It's easier to just be looking at pornography all day or whatever you do.
Well, that's, I think that's
a big one, man. I think
you know, as talking on a from a men's health point of view, that's our worst enemy. Don't you worry about that. That's not designed to be good for us. I've cut it out, and I've got mates who've cut it out as well. And I think that's a big one, man. I think it's not spoken about enough, but I think yeah, it's that's not good for us.
It never used to be plumbed into the house. If you whatever you were into, it used to like, you have to go and seek it out.
Yeah. And mate, it's on your fingertips. I mean, this is me and my girlfriend. We talk about this because we'd want to start a family or something. We say like, what do you do with your kids?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You've obviously got children who are slightly older now, right? But I mean, if you've got a young kid who's 12 or 13,
yeah.
I mean, look, okay, they're going to access pornography. That doesn't worry me.
Yeah.
You've got everything at your fingertips constantly.
Yeah. All at once, and you're like, holy shit, yeah.
I think the problem is that technology has moved quicker than our understanding of it. And I think we're in a situation now where we've got the ability to do stuff, we don't know how to control it.
But it's also down to the parents as well. You have to put, this is the thing people don't realise, life is hard, you have to put effort into it.
Yeah.
You have to make an effort.
Yeah.
And so you have to say to your kid, like, listen, you have to sit and talk to your kids.
That's it.
Go, right, this here is a gateway to everything. And you just have to sit and talk to them and explain to them, and then they'll get it. Like my boys, I remember my lad showing me his phone, and he had this horrible video of these two girls pooping into that cup. I didn't know what it was. I went, what's this? Why is this on your phone?
Yeah.
He went, my mate at school sent me it. So I sat and went, right, delete it now. And then we had this big chat about why it was bad.
Yeah.
And it worked. Because he's like, that is like he's older now, he's 22, but he's like, that was pretty, that was filth.
It's minging.
And it's
just like, on a lot of levels, it's dodgy. And it's I mean, I'm in a few WhatsApp group chats.
Mm.
And I'm quite proud of them, because they're not, I think all male group chats get a bad rap, and rightly so.
If the WhatsApp groups got made public, you'd be...
A lot of people be in jail. But you've seen the Warwick University students. I don't know if you read about that, but that's there was like a 18, 19-year-old you see in Florida. Were they a rugby team or something?
Yeah.
I think they're a rugby team. But the stuff they were saying in that was like proper...
Really next level.
And there's... We got a nice one. And in our one, we're quite like strict with each other. And there's one lad, a lot of my mates from home are sort of working like construction and stuff like that. There's one lad, and I think he got something from another group chat, and it was grim, and he sort of sent it in. And like the tone of it, I was really proud of it, because everyone was like, mate, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We don't laugh at that.
It's not about that. But, yeah.
You know, that's someone's son or daughter involved in that. They wouldn't like that. The person themselves probably doesn't want to get sent around. You know, one strike, two, you're out.
And
I think, and actually those group chats as well, there's been times when I felt a bit rough and they've picked me up a bit, and it's
nice.
I think that's something.
It's important that what we're getting out of it, all of this, is communication, rather than being not just having on your phone like social media and things like that, but actually talking to each other.
Yeah, mate.
Just having a laugh, and just out of that will come people go, oh, Jacob's not, doesn't seem himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are you alright, mate? And out of that, it doesn't have to be sat down going, right, tell me all your problems.
No.
If you're good enough mates, you'll suss it out. And
it doesn't even need to be sit us down and tell us everything.
No.
It can just be, are you a fan of Bob Mortimer?
Yeah.
So he's got his fishing programme.
That's right.
Called White House. And the story behind that, I don't know if you've read this, but he said it after he had his heart operation, Bob, a few years ago. He'd lost a bit of his sense of adventure. He wasn't leaving the house much. He was just sitting around watching box sets after box sets, curtains drawn all day.
Right.
And so Paul just said to him, come fishing.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he was like, oh, I don't like fishing, I don't want to do it. And he went, no, come fishing. And it's not, he didn't say to him, come and tell me all your problems.
No.
He just said, let's go and do something.
Brilliant.
Got him out of the house, and they just started having a chat, and suddenly it was funny. And then he went, you know what, let's do something with that. But I think the really nice thing with that is that's what a good mate would do, is get you out. And what you're saying about the group chats, I read something that, do you know, I don't know if you know the grime artist and the rapper JME.
He
put something about his social media use. He sort of clocked himself, and he was like, I'm putting things up, trying to get likes. And he goes, you know, rather than put my picture on Instagram, I'm just going to put them in my group chat from now on. Yeah. Anything I would have put in it on Instagram before, where I'm trying to get strangers to give me approval, I'm just going to show my mates. Nice. And they'll give me that approval. And they're what matters. It's not about 100, you know, or 1,000 people I've never met before giving me this dopamine hit from liking it. You know, when I take a nice photo of my dinner or whatever, I just say my mate. I think that's a really nice thing. And I don't think those phones and everything, or social media, it doesn't need to be a negative thing.
No.
But I think, exactly as you say, communication, looking after your mates around you. And I mean, especially what you're saying about your relationship with Jade, I think having something like that where you can be self-reflective together,
yeah,
and be aware of your own behaviour together. I think that's the way, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and hats off to the two of you because it's not easy.
Yeah, no, man, I want to kill each other most of the time. You sound like you've got your head together, Jacob, and it's been nice talking to you, man.
Proper pleasure.
Thanks for coming out. Where are you in Edinburgh?
So I'm in the Mash House, 5:15 every day.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. And you got other stuff? You got your podcast?
So BBC Sounds podcast will be out at the end of June. I've got my Radio 4 show that's on iPlayer at the moment.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So that's on iPlayer, is it?
Yeah, that's a stand-up special that came out a week or two.
You've come so far since I saw you. What was it? Abingdon, I think I first met you.
That was Mavs gig, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Kate Lucas was on as well, wasn't she? Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah, man, that was Andrew Bird was on as well.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a couple of years ago.
Yeah, man. But, it's good to see you doing really well.
Oh, man, was you?
Thank you for coming on.
Appreciate it, man.
Insane in the membrane.
Thank you to Jacob Hawley for taking the time out of his busy schedule to come and have a chat with us. He's a fine young man, and it's nice to hear a young person's perspective on everything. Because you think young people have got it sorted because they're young, but it was a nice chat with him. You can find ticket details for Jacob's Edinburgh show in the podcast description on your app, along with tickets to my own show and the Insane in the Membrane live shows. The Edinburgh season continues next time with Steve Brugea. Until then, take care of yourselves. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.